All right, everyone, get ready for today's deep dive. We're going deep into non-compete agreements.
Ooh, those are interesting.
Yeah, those things you might just skim over when you're signing a job contract.
Right.
But they can actually have some serious consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely can.
We've got a fascinating court case to really guide us through all this. So get ready for some legal twists and turns.
Okay.
Our case is centered around Whelan Security Company. They're a big player in the security guard business operating all across the country. And two of their former employees, Mr. Kennebrew and Mr. Morgan, who decided to go out on their own and start a competing security company.
Bold move.
Pretty bold, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Whelan was not happy about this at all and sued them, claiming breach of contract.
Oh, okay.
And specifically because of those pesky non-competes.
Oh, interesting.
Now, before we get into the legal drama, I'm curious. What exactly did these agreements say that had Whelan so riled up?
Well, these were not your average everyday non-competes. They had some pretty serious restrictions in there.
Like what?
For 2 years after leaving Whelan, Kennebrew and Morgan were basically blocked from working for any competitor within 50 miles of any place they had done business for Whelan.
2 years. That seems like forever in the business world.
Yes, a long time.
Were there any other restrictions?
Oh, yeah, there's more. They were also barred from soliciting any of Whelan's existing customers and even potential clients that they had been working on during their last year at Whelan.
Oh.
And then, just to really make things difficult, the agreement also said they couldn't poach any of Whelan's employees.
So basically, they were locked out of a huge part of the industry.
Yeah, pretty much.
Talk about trying to start a new business with your hands tied behind your back.
Yeah.
So how did the court even begin to sort all of this out? Did they side with Whelan or the former employees?
It's not quite that straightforward. The court had to try and find a balance between Whelan's right to protect their business, you know, and Kennebrew and Morgan's right to actually use their skills and make a living.
Right.
It's kind of a classic legal dilemma, really.
Okay, I'm hooked. How did they find that balance? Did they just uphold all of the restrictions in those non-competes?
Not quite. They really went point by point and really got into the details.
Okay.
Like that 2-year ban on working for a competitor within 50 miles.
Mm-hmm.
The court actually upheld that one for Mr. Kennebrew.
Really?
Yeah, they pointed to a bunch of previous cases in Missouri
called
precedents that basically support 2-year non-competes for people in management roles.
Okay.
Especially if they're tied to a specific geographic location.
That makes sense. But hold on. So much business is done online these days.
Right.
Does a 50-mile radius even make sense anymore with so many people working remotely? What if your clients are all over the place?
That's a really good point, and it's definitely something that courts are having to consider more and more, you know, as the we work changes.
Right.
But this particular case was decided, you know, based on the laws and the precedents that existed at that time,
right,
which were definitely rooted in that traditional idea of a fixed geographic area.
Yep. Got it. So score one for Whelan, at least on that restriction.
Yeah.
But what about soliciting customers? That seems like a really important thing for a new competitor.
Oh, absolutely. And this is where it gets interesting.
Okay.
The court actually went in and made some changes to the customer non-solicitation part of the agreement.
Really?
Yeah. It's called blue penciling.
Blue penciling.
And it allows them to strike out or change parts that they think are unreasonable.
Oh, okay.
While keeping the rest of it enforceable.
So they kind of rewrote the contract.
In a sense, yeah. So for instance, the court said it was okay to stop Kennebrew and Morgan from going after Whelan's existing clients,
mm-hmm,
the ones they'd actually worked with personally.
Yeah.
But the part that tried to restrict them from going after any potential clients that Whelan had targeted, even if Kennebrew and Morgan had never interacted with them,
yeah,
that was considered too broad and it got struck down.
Okay, so a little bit of a compromise there. Not a total win for either side. What about that clause about preventing them from poaching Whelan's employees? Did that one hold up in court?
That's where a specific Missouri law comes in. It's section 431.202.
Okay.
And it sets very specific rules for when you can and can't prevent former employees from trying to hire their old colleagues.
Okay.
The law is really trying to protect employees' rights to be able to move between jobs, you know, without being unfairly restricted.
That makes sense.
Mr. Morgan was fine because his agreement only had a 1-year restriction.
Okay.
Which is automatically allowed under the law.
Got it.
But Mr. Kennebrew's agreement had a 2-year restriction.
All right.
And that needed a closer look.
So this is where it starts to get really complicated.
Yeah, exactly. The court needed more information to decide if the 2-year ban on employee solicitation in Mr. Kennebrew's case was really meant to protect legitimate business interests.
Okay.
Like, you know, trade secrets, confidential information that gives a company an edge, or customer relationships, or if it was just a way to try and stifle competition, they needed to understand the purpose behind it before deciding if it was reasonable or not.
Wow. So many things to consider. It's making sense now why these cases can be so complex. It's not just a simple yes or no answer.
Definitely not. These cases often depend on the very specific facts and how the law applies to those particular circumstances.
This is making me think, if I were starting a business, especially after working somewhere with a non-compete, how could I protect myself from ending up in a similar situation? Are there any red flags to look out for?
That's a really smart question and something everyone should think about.
Yeah.
Before you even sign a non-compete, it's so important to really understand what it says.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to ask questions.
Right.
And make sure you're comfortable with the terms before you sign on that dotted line.
Good advice.
Yeah.
So knowledge is power. All right. We've covered a lot here, but we're just getting started. Stay with us because in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to explore some real-world strategies for navigating these tricky non-compete agreements.
Sounds good.
So we've seen how courts handle these non-compete cases.
Yeah.
But let's get practical for a minute.
Okay.
Let's say you're facing a non-compete. Maybe you're signing a new contract or thinking of leaving your current job to start your own thing.
Right.
What can you actually do to protect yourself and not end up in a legal battle?
Well, first off, I'd say don't try to figure this out all on your own.
Yeah.
Seriously, get legal advice from a lawyer who specializes in these things.
Oh, yeah.
They can break down your specific agreement, explain your rights and obligations, and help you come up with the best strategy.
So lawyer up. Got it.
Yeah, good advice.
What else can you do?
Well, if you're still negotiating the terms of the non-compete, don't be afraid to push back a little.
I imagine that can be kind of intimidating, especially if you're excited about a job offer.
I know, but it's worth trying. You might be able to negotiate a shorter time frame or a smaller geographic area, or even carve out exceptions for certain types of work that you want to be able to do.
Right, because like we saw in the Whelan case, those super broad clauses are the ones that courts often strike down anyway.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you do leave a job where you signed a non-compete, be upfront with your new employer about it right from the start.
Good point.
Transparency can really save you a lot of headaches later on.
Solid advice.
Yeah.
Now let's zoom out for a minute and think bigger picture.
Okay.
We've been focused on the security guard case, but these non-compete battles are happening everywhere.
Yeah.
Tech, healthcare, sales, you name it.
Everywhere.
It feels like every industry is grappling with this stuff.
It's true. Non-competes are becoming more and more common.
Yeah.
And that brings a whole bunch of new challenges, especially with all the technology we have now.
Speaking of tech, how is the rise of remote work and how easy it is to take information with you changing the landscape of non-competes?
It's really a game changer. With remote work, those geographic restrictions we talked about, they become so much harder to enforce. Mm-hmm. If you're working from home and your clients are all over the country, does a 50-mile radius even mean anything?
That seems so outdated in that context. And then there's the issue of digital information.
Right.
It used to be all about physical files and client lists.
Yeah.
But now so much sensitive information is digital, making it way easier to take it with you when you leave the job.
Yeah.
Does that make it harder for employers to protect their trade secrets?
Absolutely. Companies are having to get a lot more sophisticated about their data security and how they control access to important information. They need to be proactive and really think about how to protect their trade secrets in a world where information is so easy to share.
So a whole new ballgame for employers. What are some things they can do to protect their legitimate business interests in this increasingly mobile and digital work environment?
Well, I think it starts with being more strategic and focused in how they approach non-competes.
Okay.
Instead of using those broad, generic clauses that try to cover everything, they need to zero in on what's really unique and valuable to their business.
So like actual trade secrets, proprietary software, or those really specialized client relationships that are hard to replicate.
Exactly. Figure out what gives you a competitive edge and focus on protecting those specific things.
Okay.
And then, of course, you need strong confidentiality agreements and really robust data security systems to actually safeguard that information.
So more targeted protection, less reliance on those old school blanket restrictions.
Exactly. That's the trend I'm seeing. And I think it's going to continue as work keeps evolving.
And what about employees? What are some things they should do to protect themselves in this digital age?
Well, be mindful of your digital footprint.
Okay.
Think twice before downloading company files to your personal devices or sharing sensitive information on social media. Even if you think you're being careful, those digital trails can come back to get you.
It's like a digital breadcrumb trail.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've talked about lawyers, negotiation strategies, and the impact of technology.
Mm.
Any other key takeaways from this deep dive into non-competes?
Well, I think it's important to remember that this is a really complex area of law.
Okay.
And the outcomes of these cases can be really hard to predict.
Mm.
What might seem reasonable to one person or one court might not be seen the same way by another.
So even if you think you're in the clear, a court might surprise you.
Exactly.
It's not always black and white.
No, not at all. That's why it's so important to really understand the legal landscape.
Yeah.
And to get expert advice if you're not sure about your rights or what you're obligated to do.
Good advice.
And remember, these agreements are contracts.
Right.
So basic contract principles still apply.
Okay.
If something is unclear or ambiguous, a court will try to figure out what the parties intended when they signed it.
So it all comes back to being informed, being proactive, and making sure you really understand what you're signing.
Absolutely.
Don't just skim over those legal documents.
Right.
They can have a real impact on your career and your future.
No question.
We'll continue this conversation in part 3 of our deep dive.
Okay.
Where we'll look at some of the emerging trends and challenges in the world of non-compete agreements.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Okay, we're back for the last part of our deep dive into non-compete agreements.
All right.
We covered a lot.
Yeah, we have.
From real court battles to practical tips for dealing with these contracts.
Mm-hmm.
But before we wrap things up, I want to look at some of the bigger trends and challenges that are shaping the future of non-competes.
Yeah, that's a good idea because this area of law is constantly evolving as the way we work changes.
Exactly. So let's talk about the gig economy.
Okay.
More and more people are freelancing or working multiple jobs at the same time.
Right.
It's a completely different world from that traditional employer-employee setup we've been talking about.
It is.
So how do these old-school non-competes even apply in this new context?
That's a great question. And to be honest, it's one that's still being figured out.
Yeah.
Like if you're a freelance graphic designer, for example,
mm.
and you've worked for tons of clients over the years, could one of those clients really stop you from taking on new projects just because they might compete with their business in some way?
Right.
Where do you even begin to draw the line?
And with platforms like Upwork and Fiverr,
right,
connecting freelancers with clients all over the world,
yeah,
those geographic restrictions we talked about seem completely pointless.
They really do.
It definitely challenges those old assumptions about how these agreements should work.
Yeah, it does.
I think we're going to see a lot more lawsuits and court cases as the gig economy keeps growing.
Probably.
And those old models just don't fit anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
So a lot of uncertainty ahead. Speaking of uncertainty, let's talk about another big disruptor, AI.
Artificial intelligence.
Yeah, AI is changing everything.
It is.
From how we code to how we make art.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think AI is going to impact non-competes?
Well, it's already having an impact in ways we might not even realize.
Right.
Like, what if an employee helps develop some new AI algorithm for their company?
Right.
What's to stop them from taking that knowledge and using it to create a competing algorithm for a rival company or even starting their own AI company?
That's a scary thought for businesses that are putting tons of money into AI research and development.
Yeah, it is.
How can they protect themselves?
That's a tough one. Those traditional non-competes might not be enough.
Right.
Companies might have to find more creative ways to protect their intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe looking at things like patents or trade secret laws to safeguard their AI innovations.
So it's a whole new level of complexity.
It is.
When it comes to protecting business interests in the age of AI.
Absolutely. And we're just scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
As AI gets even more advanced, these legal questions are only going to become more difficult.
Well, we've gone from security guards to freelance designers to AI algorithms.
It's amazing, right?
All thanks to the ever-changing world of non-compete agreements.
It is.
It's amazing how this one legal concept can have such a big impact on so many different industries.
Yeah.
And touch so many aspects of our lives.
It really does highlight how important it is to stay informed.
Yeah.
And be able to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
The rules are changing all the time. And whether you're an employer or an employee,
right,
you need to understand how these agreements work
mm-hmm.
and how to protect your own interests.
Couldn't agree more. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the fascinating world of non-compete agreements.
Okay.
We've explored real court cases, unpacked key legal ideas, and hopefully given you some things to think about in terms of how these agreements are changing.
Absolutely.
As the way we work keeps evolving.
It is.
Thank you for joining us on this journey.
It's been a pleasure.